war in love in the heavenlies with Almighty God. And we're going to sing about our stories because it's beautiful stories. Let's read chapter 12. The way of the Spirit will be honored when we operate in our gifts. Did you know that you have a gift? Each and everyone sitting here has a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1 to 3. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians. And he's just bringing church order. Now he says, now concerning. The Corinthians wrote a letter to the Apostle Paul. And they asked the Apostle Paul about spiritual gifts. So now in chapter 12, Paul says, okay, now I'm going to write about spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, he says to the church, I do not want you to be ignorant. Everybody says ignorant. Afrikaans sal 'n baie lekker vertaling wees, digdom. I think that's the best Afrikaans translation. Digdom. But he says, don't be ignorant. You know, the church in Corinth, they were a really, really, just follow me. Thanks, Hank. Just go back. The church in Corinth was a very gifted church. They really operated in the gifts of the Spirit. But they were also a very immoral church. There were a lot of temple prostitutes and prostitution that was being exercised in Corinth. Evil deities. Because it was a Gentile church. It wasn't from the nation Israel. It was Gentiles. They had their own gods, their own way of doing stuff. And especially in terms of sexuality. And now I know why God is so keen on the sexual thing this evening. Bad sexual relationships. Now I know. Because I'm preaching about Corinth. I never knew it. But there's some of us in bad sexual relationships. It's got to stop this evening. Can I get an amen? Sex before marriage has got to stop. It's got to stop this evening. But the Apostle Paul tells them, don't be ignorant. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, dumb gods, dumb goede, wat julle aanbid het. The Apostle Paul, I just love the man. He's straight to the point. He says, all those other gods that you serve besides God is dumb. They're dumb. However you were led. Verse 3 says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts and he's giving us just the foundation here. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, number one, we will honor the Holy Spirit by allowing ourselves to be under control of the Holy Spirit. Why is Paul saying that? You remember that first verse? Don't be ignorant. So Paul says, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. Why? Because you were led astray by these dumb idols. So Paul is telling them, there's all these false gods, dumb gods that you've been following before you've given your life to Christ. Those gods, those lusts, those spirits, those demons, they don't belong in church. Paul says, no, it doesn't work like that. Paul says, you will allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Now, when these Gentiles came to faith, they came to church, and they thought that they could worship God with these same spirits. They brought different spirits in with them. You know, it was a demokar gemors. You know, the temple prostitutes, they came to faith in Christ. Now, that the prostitutes, their hair was shaven off. Did you know that? So the temple prostitutes that worshipped in other churches where they worshipped demons and other gods, they shaved their heads. And so they did sexual favors and sexual sins, and then they worshipped through these sexual orgies, all those things they do. And so now they came to learn to meet Jesus Christ. And the problem is that you can say yes to Jesus Christ, but sometimes your mind still says yes to your old ways. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It's fine. Now they came to church, and they thought that they could worship God now with these mindsets. And so, just on the side, that is why Paul says, ladies in the church of Corinth, you must wear hats. Not everybody must wear hats. Just the ladies in Corinth. Because you were prostitutes, your heads are shaven. You must wear a hat, because when people walk past the church and they look into the church, then they see you there, then they think there's something wrong there. But just out of respect, put a hat on till your hair grows back. Then you can take the hat off. Are you with me? It was just a custom in Corinth. It's not a law that everybody must wear hats. It was just a custom in Corinth. So Paul says now, you can't be out of control when you worship God. The Holy Spirit is not a dumb idol. You must allow yourself to be under control of the Holy Spirit. And look what the word says, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. A pure spirit. That's the first thing that Paul says. We will honor the Holy Spirit if we allow ourselves to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that Paul says, we will honor the Spirit by glorifying Jesus. Can you go to verse 3 quickly again for me, Hein? Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Do you see it there? The Holy Spirit can only glorify Jesus. That's Luki Sainami. You don't swear Jesus, or you don't swear, oh my God, by the Spirit of God. You can't do that by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God, you glorify Jesus, the risen Christ. Only by the Holy Spirit you do that. And the Apostle Paul says to them, you will glorify Jesus when the Holy Spirit's got hold of you. I want you to know that. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. There's so many people that want to follow Christianity, but they don't want to believe that Jesus died on the cross, bled to death, rose on the third day, ascended into heaven with the Father. There's a lot of people that don't want to believe that. You cannot follow Christianity if you don't believe that. Because it's about the ascended Christ. And we will bring glory to Him in everything that He says He wants us to do, and in every way that He did it. Are you with me? The third thing that the Apostle Paul says, we will honor the Spirit by submitting under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you can go back to verse 3, call Jesus Christ. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Just flight that scripture. You cannot say Jesus is your Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? We're talking about spiritual gifts now. Oh, beautiful. Only when you've received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit from Christ, then you can submit under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll never submit under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, let's just go on. Look what Paul says to the church when he writes the second letter to them, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you. Paul is jy wat? Jylle luister vir enige een wat enige bog met jylle praat, jylle luister vir hulle. You listen to everybody that preaches and says something, you listen to them, you put it over them. And Paul says, why? Paul says, even if they preach, watch this, even if they preach another Jesus than we've preached, different spirit? There's different spirits. Than the one that you've received? Or a different kind of gospel? The Apostle Paul said, when somebody comes to you and he speaks to you about another Jesus, not the Jesus of Scripture, don't listen to them. The Apostle Paul says, when somebody comes with another spirit, don't listen to them. The Apostle Paul said, when somebody comes and preaches another gospel, their own gospel that they've conjured up, Paul says, you put up with it. You listen to them. I don't want you to listen to them. Because by the Spirit of God, you will receive that truth, that life. And so this is a real radical thing, what I'm going to say to you, but truth by the Spirit in the name of Christ through the gospel will reduce seducing spirits. You know how many seduction is going on at this stage in the church of Jesus Christ? People just seducing one another. People making decisions out of their emotions because they've been seduced. It will also expose false teachers. And both of these above mentioned operates outside of relationship. We're talking about spiritual gifts. Now you may think, now Carlos, what has this got to do with spiritual gifts? Well, I'm going to show you right now, Sisi. Just hold on. I'm going to prove to you why this is important. I'm going to prove to you why God says we shouldn't be seduced. Watch this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 22. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And didn't we do many mighty works? Otherwise, people's going to say, God, didn't we operate in your spirit? And God says, I never knew you. You never operated in my spirit. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Operating in spiritual gifts is not a sign of true spirituality. If somebody performs miracles, don't just believe it's of the Lord. Jesus says it himself. There's a lot of people that are going to say to me, God, I did so many miracles. Oh, Lord, and I prayed for the, and I healed the sick, and I prophesied in your name. You know, and then Jesus is going to say, but I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You either preach another gospel or you preach with another spirit or you preach another Jesus. But I don't know you. We're talking about spiritual gifts this evening. And so Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, guys, the fact that you operate in all the gifts of the Spirit, that doesn't make you spiritual. Geestelijkheid het niks uit te wei met hoe geestelijke ou is. It's about relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's about relationship with Scripture, what Scripture says and what Scripture wants. Are you with me? Isn't it exciting news? And what God wants to do in these last days, God wants to expose these things, false teachers, seducing spirits, seductive spirits. God wants to expose it, but you need to be awake in seeing it. And you need to grow to maturity. That's why we have the gifts, so that we can grow into maturity, so that we can sense if something is of the Lord. And so what I tell people nowadays, if somebody is not for relationships, be careful. If somebody is not accountable, willing to sit down and talk with you about the things that make sense, make necessary for life, if somebody is not willing to sit with you, look you in the eye, and talk about the issues of the heart, being vulnerable, walk away. Be careful, walk away. You will open yourself up for seduction, seducing. It's an unruly evil out there where everybody is a god unto themselves and they figure the gospel out in isolation. It's about me, my, myself, and my ministry. It can never be like that. And so when I sound a warning out like that, all that I'm saying is to you, make sure that you're relationally connected to a church. Make sure that you're relationally connected to people. Otherwise, you open yourself up to receive. To receive. And Paul says, don't receive from another spirit. You open yourself up for a huge fall. It works like this. And I've explained it to the guys at Intercession. Beautiful analogy. We get into an airplane. Where do you want to go? I haven't heard of a place like that. Where do you want to go?
I want to go to Australia.
Australia? Tani-san? Australia. It's an inside joke between me and Tani-san. But Australia, I used the same example in Intercession. You're of the spirit. You're in the spirit, my sister. I used the same example at Intercession on Thursday. No, serious. You can ask the people. I said, we're on a plane to away to Australia. Now you're saying Australia. So, we're on our way to Australia. To the Gabba. We're on our way. So now we're going. But somewhere along the line, we're all sitting there. And somewhere along the line, a hijacker comes. He goes into the cockpit of the airplane and he puts a gun to the pilot's head and he says to the pilot, turn this plane around. We're going to go now to Pakistan. What happens inside of the airplane? Nothing. We all get served our drinks. The children, they watch DVDs. You drink a water. You get your food. Everything is beautiful. Except for one thing. The destination where you're going to. The only way that those people on that plane will find out that they're at the wrong place is when that plane lands and you step down and then you look around and then you think, where are we now? Now there's a lot of Christians on wrong planes. They get served the same food, they get served the same music, they get served the same service, the same smiles, kort rokies. Beeste stuk uit. Is u nog gelukkig, meneer? Are you still happy? Have some more. Does your son wants to watch DVDs? They get the same things. But when they get off that plane, they're going to get a scare. Because they've been seduced by the power of another spirit to listen to a different gospel and they've accepted a different Jesus. It sounds all the same. But it's not all the same. We're talking about spiritual gifts this evening. Church, we got to wake up. Because when you get off on the wrong destination, I don't know how you get out of there. When assassins are waiting there for you. And people are smiling, you're taking you captive. Operating in gifts is not a sign of spirituality. While we do ministry, remember, intimate knowledge of Jesus comes before exercising the gifts of the Spirit. You never operate in the gifts of the Spirit if you've not connected intimately with Jesus. If you've not connected intimately with the body of Christ, you don't do ministry. You don't. That intimacy with Jesus and with the body of Christ must come first. That is why Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. The Apostle Paul was a wise man. He knew what he was saying. And so when you're connected to the body of Christ, when you're connected to church, when you're connected to small group, when you're connected to Jesus, I can tell you you're on a safe place. But I just want to throw this in. If you're not connected to any of those relational things, you're floating outside there. Please, I'm not saying it must be here. Please get a home for you. Please. I'm begging you by the power of the Spirit. Please get a place where you can connect and relate to people in safety. You're opening yourselves up for deception, for seduction. And if you're wandering around like that, a false teacher is going to pick you up. And he or she is going to tell you things that you like. You're going to get itchy ears, and you're going to like what people say, but you're going to get taken out. And the only time when you see when you will be taken out is when that plane lands. And you say, ta-da, us, Pakistan. Then it's too late. So, ignorance leads to death. We did now verse 1 to 3. Now we're going to do verse 4 to 6. Now, Paul explained to them why they shouldn't be ignorant. Paul said to them, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be under control of the Holy Spirit. You will submit under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said, as I explained to you there. And the Apostle Paul, just flight there three things again, what Paul is saying, so that we can just, number one is we will glorify Jesus by the power of the Spirit. We'll submit under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and we will be under the control of the Holy Spirit. So that is what Paul is explaining to them there, and what I've just elaborated on. Now Paul goes on. Now Paul says, verse 4 to 6, now he says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. Do you see it there? Different gifts, but the same Spirit. Different services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God. Can you just black out? I just want to explain. Paul says there's gifts, but it's the same Spirit that gives them to you. There's offices, there are works, but it's the same Lord. It's the same Jesus that gives them to you. Then he also says there's the same God, and he gives different activities. So it can't be another Spirit. It can't be another Jesus. And it can't be another God. Are you with me? Now, first, our ministry should reflect the Trinity. I'm teaching you on spiritual gifts. In other words, there's gifts of the Spirit, there's ministries of Christ, and there's activities of the Father. Read one, come here quickly. Just explain to you. Now, inside of him, there's gifts of the Spirit. Inside of him, there's ministries of Christ. And inside of him, there's activities of the Father. With his unique personality, that makes him unique, very unique. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. We will look at that at a later stage. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. There's five ministries of Christ. The five ministries of Christ is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So he's got something of that in him. A bit of a pastor, a bit of a teacher, maybe he's a bit of an evangelist, I don't know. But that's part of the ministries of Christ. Then there's the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the nine gifts. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of miracles, word in faith, gift of faith. There's quite a few. I can't remember them all now. But some of that is also operating in your lives. And then there's the activities of the Father. Now, the activities of the Father are those things which God created with him with. In other words, he loves organizing. Or maybe he's somebody that likes to structure things. Or maybe he likes numbers. Hy hou van met getalle werk, you know. That's the activities of the fathers. We look at that. The ministries of Christ is the five ministries that I've said. And the gifts of the Spirit that he receives when he gives his life to the Lord. Now watch this. Is it possible if somebody has not given their life to the Lord, is it possible that they can also do miracles? Is it possible? Is it possible when somebody has never given their life to the Lord? It is possible. Why? Because they do it with a different spirit. It's not by the Spirit of God. That's why God's going to tell them, I never knew you. God will never take away the gifts. He will never take away the ministries. God will never take away the activities. But, God will call him one day and God will ask him, Wani, now you must give me an account. I've given all these things to you. You've never used it. Why? Then Wani is going to say to God, God, but I did this and I did this. And then God says, no, I don't want to talk about what you did. I want to talk about what you did not do. What I've asked you to do. That's what God's going to talk about. Are you with me? So, our ministry, thanks Wani, must reflect the Trinity. Because the Trinity is all about teamwork. You don't get two persons alike in a church. Everyone here has those gifts. I don't know what it is, but we need you. Let's go to the next slide. Our ministry should reflect the Trinity. Reflecting the Trinity will lead us to unity. You cannot build a church on one person and with one person's personality. We build the church with the gifts of the Trinity that has been placed inside of each and every one of us. Does that make sense? Secondly, reflecting the Trinity will lead to maturity. If all of those gifts are operating within the church, the more mature the church will be. A church is not mature because of its bank balance. A church is not mature because of its size. Jy het geweet. 'N 3000 ster kerk is 10-10 in hierdie kerkie. A mature church is a church where those three gifts operate. Where those three gifts of the Trinity are reflected within the body. Reflecting the Trinity will establish relationships. In other words, if I'm not pastoral, if I'm a teacher, I need a pastor next to me. Because it's wrong if I just teach and teach and teach and teach and teach my sister here. Somebody must counsel her. But then, we can't teach and counsel her for the whole year. Somebody must tell her, sister, come sister, now it's time that we go. We're going to do some evangelism. So the evangelist must take her and say, come, let's go. We're going to do some evangelism. Thank you, Mani. You can sit. Are you with me? But then there needs to be an apostle who sees things, who tells us, look here, the difficulties, we need to go into that situation. And just apostolically, now what is an apostle? It's not a title. Apostle means it's somebody that has the ability to go into difficult situations and just change it. It's a church planter. It's somebody with an apostolic vision. Now anyone has a part of the apostolic vision inside of them, making things happen in difficult situations. But now this about the apostle, you must kiss the apostle's ring, kiss my ring. It's nonsense. That's not why God created the gifts. It's a many-ministered body. It's a many-gifted body. Are you with me? Because if we reflect everything about the Trinity, if we reflect that, then we become mature. And when she and the evangelists go and we pastor the people, we disciple them, we teach them, Then the person with the organizational skills must come and say, look here, 500 people are coming in. We need to structure this thing. We need to get them into groups. We need to see them every week on a Wednesday. We need to talk to them. We need to get 18 groups, because you need that person. Otherwise, we're going to lose everybody. You know when people get deceived, when they think that their gift is the most important, then people get deceived. You know when people get deceived, when they think that their ministry is the most important ministry. When people start thinking worship, it's about worship. It's the worship. If the worship, then there's not going to be church. Then I get scared. Then I want to say, now what about the sound people? You're arrogant. What about the preacher? What about the offering? What about small groups? What makes you so special? You see, nothing makes me special. I have a function here. I don't have a title. I have a function called into the fivefold ministry as a pastor. But that doesn't necessarily reflect, that's not the only thing that I can do. When people think pastor, they think they can sit there and talk to him. And then they will leave feeling okay. Because it's a wrong thing that has been portrayed to the church. In my ministry, I must also reflect the Trinity. And I must surround me with people that thinks differently than what I think. I must. Otherwise, I'm going to be deceived. If there's no pastor around me, if there's no evangelist around me, if there's no whatever around me, then I'm going to be deceived. We're talking about maturity. Now, now I'm going to come back. We're going to do this over quite a few weeks. I'm going to do a series on it. Somebody may have a pastoral anointing, but that doesn't mean that they're a pastor. Somebody may have an evangelistic anointing, but that doesn't mean that they are an evangelist. I'll come back and I'll teach, when does God call somebody into the office as a pastor? Now, I'm in the office as a pastor. The office. But Paul has a pastoral anointing. Marshall has a pastoral anointing. Jan has a pastoral anointing. So God must help me, because there's a lot of pastors here. Teaching anointing. But we need other people that think differently. Otherwise, we're going to get deceived. We're going to be the shepherd movement, because we're shepherds. I get scared when people talk about shepherd movements. And the scary thing is, if you're a pastor and you're a shepherd and you only operate in that, the scary thing is that I've seen with most pastors is they draw people unto themselves. They become the shepherd. They become the shepherds. And everybody runs to them for help. I'm not saying it's with them. I'm just explaining what I've seen. And so I get scared and I tell people now, okay, so who's discipling the people? Do they all come to you? Why can they only receive from you? Why can't they receive in the small groups? Or when people tell me the only way for this person to be delivered is when they come to this cause, hulle moet die kursus doen. Then I ask people now, what's so anointed about the cause? Why can't they be delivered in small group? Why can't they be delivered in church while they worship? Why can't they be delivered with the altar call? Why can't they in their beds just lie and say, God deliver me, and then be delivered? How do we disciple people? You see, we get deceived when we're not reflecting the Trinity. Are you with me? Does it make sense what I'm saying this evening? Can you see why Jesus says, I think this is something God wants me to show you. Just go back to that scripture. Lord, Lord. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the first area in the last days, it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. It's other words, but Jesus is saying, the area of worship is going to become contaminated. Lord, Lord is worship. And God says, well, you're worshiping me now, but you never worshiped me. I never knew you. That's the one area. The second area that's going to become contaminated, prophesy. The ministry of prophecy at this stage is defiled. It's filthy. People run around for prophecies so that people can prophesy over them. But I've seen some of these prophets. They're not connected to anybody. It's only them and their ministry. They don't talk about church. It's only them and their ministry. I can tell you now, it's a scary thing. The other area in the last days that is going to get contaminated, just go to verse 22. Do you know we prophesy? The other is cast out demons, the deliverance ministry. Deliverance ministry at this stage, it's at a dangerous place. There's so many things happening out there, deliverance ministries, that's not connected to church. Jesus says, be careful. And the other one is just miracles, signs and wonders. We're going to see some people that's going to do some signs and wonders, and that is not going to be of the Lord. And two things, just as a tip, watch somebody's fruit. Kijk naar zijn vrucht. Jesus says, you'll know a tree by its fruit. So go check out his family. I've sat down with people and I talked with them. Look here. So tell me about you. Then they tell me about their ministry. Then they tell me about how powerful their ministry is. Then they tell me about where they are. Then they tell me about how many people they have in their ministry and how many people they have on staff. When we're finished, then I don't know who they are. I don't want to hear about your ministry. I want to hear about you, who you are, where you lived. Who's your children? Are they following the Lord? How's your wife? Is she submissive? Can I come visit you so that I can see how things is at your home? And so Jesus says, an account of that, there's a lot of people that I'm going to tell them, I don't know you because you never welcomed me, or you never welcomed any of my brothers to come into your personal space just to see who you are and just to check out who you are. And so that's the one tip. Check somebody's fruit. The other one, how do people connect relationally? How's their relationships? Do they have a lot of broken relationships? I'm talking about ministries now, eh? Do they have a lot of broken relationships? If you go talk to the people and just ask, like, but no, it ended off in something terrible. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody that can maintain loving, blessed relationships, that doesn't go from church to church to church to church to church to church. Are you with me? And so we need to wake up people. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, let's do the last part. Then verse 7 says, now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the Apostle Paul says, this is how it will look when you are under the control of the Holy Spirit, when you are under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and this is how you will look when you worship God, when you glorify Jesus. Then he says, now, you must remember there's many members in the body, and we must reflect the Trinity, because there's gifts that the Spirit gives, there's gifts that the Son Jesus gives, there's gifts that God gives. Now he says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Beautiful. Are you awake? Yes, the blessing. Let's go. Every believer is important. Why am I saying that? Just go back again. Now to who? Each one. Each one. Elkeen. Soos julle hier sit. If you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. For Nathaniel ook. Each one. I don't care how small you are, to each one it's given. I love it. The second thing that Paul is saying, every believer is gifted. Every believer is gifted. And every believer is a minister. Every believer is a minister. Every believer is important. Every believer is gifted. Every believer is a minister. We need one another. It's the one another principle. But first, we must come to the place of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we must reflect the Trinity in relationship. Thirdly, now you're ready. You have it. Being part of a body. Now, after this, then Paul explains. Then he gives the nine gifts of the Spirit. So the next time when we come back, we're going to talk about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. That will be next week, Sunday. I'll talk about the nine gifts. Why the nine gifts are important and how do we use it within the body. Because we need each other. Ons het mekaar nodig, né? We need each other. Do you know that? And what I like about South Africa, with 11 different cultures, that's going to be an awesome church. 11 different cultures submitting under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Paul and I, we've prayed with you. And she prayed in Xhosa. Am I right? Was it Xhosa, eh? Beautiful. I didn't understand what she was praying, but I could just sense this is from the Spirit of God when we prayed for the college. And it's just beautiful to hear the gospel in another language. Isn't it beautiful? When Isis came to the Lord, Isis thought Afrikaans as a dom taal. You know, because I was influenced by Americans. You know, Americans think that everything they do is the right thing, you know, sometimes. But, you know what I'm saying? And so how does that ladies do it? You know? And until we started worshiping in Afrikaans, some of the most anointed songs are the Afrikaans songs that we're singing now. I really want to challenge my Xhosa and my Zulu friends to start learning the Afrikaans language and what these words mean and start worshiping with us in Afrikaans. I'm challenging you this evening. Just go check it out before you think, oh, this language again. Just before you go into that, just start opening yourselves up to what God does. There's beautiful Afrikaans, but now all the Afrikaner people, you can't think that we can't worship in Xhosa, or we can't worship in Chinese, or whatever the case may be. Are you with me? But I'll tell you, when we get together, when we're going to grasp this thing about the Trinity and the reflection. You see, it's not about culture. It's about the culture that submits under Jesus Christ. It's about a culture that reflects the gifts of God. It's about a culture that walks in the activities of Jesus and the Father. And it's a culture that reflects the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's about church. It's about a chosen generation, a royal priesthood that all of us have been called up. It's about that. It's not a denomination. It's a church. And that is how we have been gifted. So I want to extend this invitation to you. We need you. We need each other. We can't build the kingdom. You know, the old ways. Well, if you don't agree with me, then I'll do it on my own. Gone are those days. Nowadays, you know, our funny things are you have to when you want to register business, it's always wise to register your business in the tongue of another language. Moya Entertainment, Ubuntu Entertainment, whatever the case may be. Are you with me? But we need one another. And so, my heart is this evening that as a church, we will reflect the Trinity. We will reflect the Holy Spirit. We will reflect Jesus, and we will reflect God with your unique personality. Now, the possibilities between those three, it's endless. It's endless in the way God has made you up. And you know what? The great thing about it is you can grow. If you're not prophetic, you can grow in the prophetic. If you just possible, you can grow. God allows it for growth. Are you with me? Isn't it beautiful? So, two more points. We are gifted for the health of the whole body. A healthy church is a church where everybody is part of ministry and where everybody reflects the Trinity. That's a healthy church. I'm going to say it again. A healthy church is not necessarily a church that has a really, really good and bing, bang, bang balance. A gifted church, as the Apostle Paul says here, is not necessarily a mature church and a healthy church. This is a huge faith target that I'm putting out there. Dis 'n groot, dit gaan nie oornag gebeur nie. This is not an easy one. But I'm really trusting God for that. I'm really trusting God to bring us to that place where we can look each other in the eye, cross-culturally, and just say, I need you. I need you. But not the way that political parties says we need each other. The way that Christ says it. Because there's a gift in you that can be a blessing to me. But then you must understand that there's a gift in me and I can be a blessing to you. It's reciprocal. If you can't deal with that, I can tell you it's going to be real difficult for you to understand why Jesus would say that. Every tribe, every tongue on that day will worshiping and they will sing the loudest hallelujah. The F3 team, when I was there Wednesday doing the training with them, it was Madeleine, it was Mario, Tani Jenny, Tani's son, it was you, it was Libby and Olivia. They were busy in the kitchen and I wasn't really feeling good. And just at the back, I just heard them laughing. And obviously, Madeleine laughed the loudest because she can do it. You know, and I was, and what I heard at the back, it just changed everything inside. They deployed the power of joy. This joy just shot up in me. And I just thank God, there's so many beautiful, smiling, laughing people there at the back. And they're just enjoying the fact that they're going to do ministry now. And it just blessed me. I never told them that, but I want to honor you this evening. Hou aan so lag, Madeleine. Never stop. You know, it just meant so much. It changed my life. A small gesture like that. You know, and it's beautiful when we start seeing these little things. So I want you to be part of this church. I want you to be. It's open. Come. But now you have to come. If you want a friend, be a friend. I can't get to all of you, but you can get to the small groups. And you can go and say to the small group, this is what I believe. And if you don't know what your gift is, we will help you find out. We have the ability and we have the tools to help you. We have the tools. But that is important.